The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
The Therapeutic Goods Administration has approved booster doses for the Pfizer vaccine for people aged 18 and older, 6 months after their second dose. Joining me now to unpack this is infectious diseases physician and microbiologist Professor Paul Griffin. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And so firstly, why do we need booster shots?
So we know these vaccines protect us tremendously well, but when we've looked at the longer term studies, it does start to decline over time, that protection. And while it's relatively subtle, still at 6 months, we do think that the protection will decrease to a point where we want to just make sure we've got enough people with maximum protection by giving them another booster and bringing that up. So it's really just to address the fact that the protection reduces a little bit over time.
Mm. Now, there'll be some people who, you know, probably are against vaccines to start off with, who'll look at this and say, well, you know, this is a sign that the vaccines don't work. Is that just completely off the mark?
It really is. We know there's very few vaccines that you receive one jab and have lifelong protection. Well, we'd love it to be the case. Most of the time, you do need boosters. And I think influenza, the flu vaccine, is a really good example of that, where protection from that is probably even shorter lived than from this vaccine. And so we give people a booster once a year to protect them during that season. So it's a precedent. It's something we do quite often. And it was really no surprise that we're going to do that with this virus as well.
And so the TGA has focused specifically on booster doses for Pfizer. Do you expect that will also happen for AstraZeneca, Moderna, other vaccines?
I think there will be more. Whether it happens for AstraZeneca or not remains to be seen. I think at this stage, a lot of people who have received the AstraZeneca vaccine may actually switch across to Pfizer for their booster. And we're also going to have Novavax relatively soon as well, which will likely get approved and used mostly as a booster as well. So, you know, this sort of a situation will continue to evolve over time as we get more information and our situation changes and more of these approvals come through.
Mm. Now, you mentioned the flu vaccine. So each year or maybe every couple of years, there's a new little element of the flu vaccine that's added in there, sort of, you know, you get sort of three or four strains or something like that in the most recent one. When it comes to this Pfizer vaccine, will it just be the same one that we've already been getting, we just get it again, or is there going to be an updated version that happens in the future?
For now, it's the same one, but I expect in time, and you know, whether this is next year, the year after, or sometime in the distant future, that we might need to add in or swap to a slightly different variant or strain of COVID. And it may well be in years to come that we have our single shot per year, which has the four flus in it that we want protection from, and maybe two or three COVIDs that we need protection from as well. So there's already good studies underway combining the two vaccines, and if that proves they're as safe and successful as the vaccine separately, then we might even have a combo vaccine in years to come.
Yeah, right. And so it sounds like that this is just a sign of the future. We'll be getting our yearly COVID vaccines.
I think that's likely. I mean, in terms of the exact interval, there's a number of variables that will determine exactly when that happens, but I do think it's likely to be something very similar to the flu in that once a year, or perhaps if you're travelling overseas out of season, then you get a booster to make sure you're protected.
Mm. And while we've got you, Paul, what are you thinking at the moment as far as how the outbreak in New South Wales is tracking and also the one in Victoria?
Look, I think both of those states have done a tremendous job getting things under control. And, you know, it's been good, although not entirely unexpected at this short sort of a duration, that we haven't seen a significant increase in cases since they've started to reopen in a safe way. It's great to see Victoria having peaked on around the 15th of this month, and hopefully their cases will continue to decline. And, you know, it really goes to show just how effective two doses of these vaccines are at addressing this virus. And so hopefully what we'll see now is that the case numbers might stabilise or continue to decline, but you know, the severe manifestations, which we know that the vaccine is amazing at protecting us from in terms of people going to hospital or needing intensive care, will continue to fall as their vaccine rates are so high. And it's really a model we need to look at in the other states with low rates to get those vaccine rates right up to get protected.
Yeah, well, in a lot of those states now, they've set a date for reopening the borders. When that happens, they'll probably be around about 80% vaccination, fully vaccinated. So would you expect to see COVID spread nationally in a way that we probably haven't seen since the start of this pandemic?
I think that's inevitable. I think we'll see cases in a lot of states that have had very few, and we need to recalibrate our expectations, because the higher we have our vaccine rates, the lower the impact. So while we might see significant numbers of cases, we'll see hopefully very few people still admitted to hospital or getting really sick from this virus. And, you know, what really happens when we open up is entirely determined by what we do. If we get this right, we get those vaccine rates up above 80, hopefully well above 80, and we continue to do some simple things to reduce the spread of the virus, then we can maintain good control and we can go about our lives fairly normally and not see too many people get really sick. If we don't get those rates up, or we don't do those other measures to keep control of transmission, well, then things could still get out of hand. So that's why it's so important, particularly, we get those rates as high as possible.
Infectious diseases physician and microbiologist Professor Paul Griffin, thanks for joining me on The West Live.
Thanks for having me.